In the name of Christ, our King, the one who has come and is coming again, dearly redeemed believers. We're meditating on what is today's second lesson. It's from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. We read, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. For the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat, and the earth and what was done on it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be, living in holiness and godliness, as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of God? That day will cause the heavens to be set on fire and destroyed, and the elements to melt as they burn with great heat. But according to his promise, we look forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, as you look forward to these things, make every effort to be found in peace, spotless and blameless in his sight." The word of the Lord. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. For those that remember, anticipation was one of those hits on the radio by Carly Simon back in the hippie days, 1971. The title track and lead single, Anticipation, became a smash top 20 chart hit in the U.S. It was later used as the soundtrack for several television commercials for, this is probably what you remember, Heinz Ketchup, starting in 1973. The YouTube videos are still out there. You can hear Carly Simon singing if you'd like to, and maybe even find the ketchup commercials. But I have to tell you, that problem has been solved. Have you noticed? Somebody finally figured out how to turn the ketchup bottle upside down and give it a bigger top and just flip the label. You don't have to wait anymore. There's no more anticipation. Don't you love it? Americans are so impatient. We just think how you feel, okay? I mean, don't have to confess here, raise your hand, I'll do the confessing. Standing in line, and you're more than two or three people back. Get some help out here. I mean, if you're not saying it, it's right. Get some help out here. We just don't like to wait for anything. And so when you've got a situation like Advent, and the Lord has been saying for 6,000 years, prepare. Well, it isn't just Americans that get a little impatient with that. This is from Jude, Jesus' brother, his little epistle just before Revelation, referring back to the very beginning and something we didn't know until the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write these words. It's verses 14 through part of, well, into 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he was the one that walked with God and was no more because God took him. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, also prophesied about these people, saying, "Look, the Lord is going to come with tens of thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment against all of them and to convict every soul concerning all their ungodly deeds, which they did in an ungodly way, and concerning all the harsh words that ungodly sinners spoke against him. As the Lord's Apostle Paul echoes in Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So along come the really smart people in our day and age, thinking they have something new because they deny there's even the existence of a creator. But that goes way back too. And in their denials then come up with all sorts of ways they have to, you've heard it, save the planet. And you just really would like to tell them you're too late. God loved the world, the planet, so much that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. When Enoch's words come true, as inspired by God the Holy Spirit. But you know how it goes. Some of you may remember Time Life magazine back in the 60s with a large caption there and scientists warning that an ice age was coming. I'm told you can follow the same names through the government grants. When the ice age became global warming, until the earth started to cool down again, and now they're back to climate change. Goes on and on. Follow the money trail. Well, what's God going to do? He's going to keep coming to his little flock and keep calling out in those eternal words of God, the Holy Spirit, where, yes, flesh is as grass and disappears, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And you and I have every reason at this time to listen, because our God is so faithful, he cannot lie. And if you want proof, take a piece of paper, even I can do this, draw one line like that and one line like that. That's proof, and that's all you need. Because the first advent when Christ came, he came to suffer and die. To keep that promise when no one else knew what he meant by it. To keep on reminding through the prophets over and over again, the Messiah's advent, his coming, is near. And then John the Baptist in the wilderness proclaiming it. Oh, dear friends, if he could come the first time to suffer and die, he will come again. Almost sounds like it cut out for a second there. Okay. Could just be Grandpa's ears here. Checking that. We want to anticipate and prepare because the Advent anticipation of those who wait is, first of all, patient. We are in what you could call the time between eternities, life's little day. Someone told me about an internet sermon, didn't get to hear it myself, but the concept was great. They called it the rope sermon. So we had a couple of the young men here at church back when we could all worship together, and one stood on this end of the rope and the other on that end, one at creation and the other one at judgment day. And I had taken a little marker for about an inch or two on that rope closer to the end of judgment day. Life's little day, our little time in history. To try to illustrate how God looks at all things from the eternal present. So as you look at life, the timeline of life stretched out like that, you're looking as if you're out in God's view. And he loves to do this. He loves to give us his view from the Holy Scriptures. You have to keep that in mind as we come to these words of the Lord here, because some of the criticism, you've heard it, and maybe your own heart sometimes is right there wondering and complaining. You know, we do that. If God is totally loving, and if he is infinitely powerful, why does he not end the suffering? If he loves us, isn't he paying attention and watching? So the dear Lord, here through the apostle, tells us something about God's view of time, if you think of that stretched out timeline, and why it keeps going on, to help your Advent anticipation in patience. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Don't forget. First of all, God invented time, right? In Genesis 1, 16 and 17, on the fourth day, there's light on the first day. If this was myth and legend, he would have created the sun, moon, and stars before he created light. But this isn't myth and legend. This is the opposite of how anybody would write a myth. So first he creates light when he says, let there be light, and there was light. And then by the fourth day, he creates the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night, and he made the stars. And he said, these are meant to govern days and months and years. Don't worry about it. God knows how to tell time. He invented it. Tell your friends this is what the Lord is saying when they like to point to one of the few passages they seem to know. For the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So then they like to go to that and say, well, doesn't that leave room for evolution? No, this is talking 1,000 years, not millions and billions like you guys do, okay? That's for starters. So, you know, pay attention to what he says. The Lord is not slow to do what he has promised, as some consider slowness. Look at it in God's view, from the eternal present. Look at it in a timeline stretched out, if that helps you picture it. What's a day in that? What are we? Barely a molecule in that little tiny section of life. But the Lord is not slow to do what he has promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is, here's the word, patient for your sakes, patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. When Paul went to the think tank of the ancient world in Acts chapter 17, the city of Athens, up on the place of discussion, the Areopagus, all the intellectuals are up there, he told them about the unknown God, and he said that God chooses the time and place where everyone will live. There's a reason why when you were growing up, you were not hearing your parents say to you, don't waste that food because there's starving children in America. Okay? A reason why you didn't play with your friends and say, we're going to keep digging this hole until we get to the other side of the world in America. That's what my Chinese friends say they were told when they were growing up. Same thing we said as kids. You were born here. You were born in this time. God knew this day to bring you to his house, to let you hear his word, to let you hear it in a recording maybe months or years from now. Because he's patient. And in every possible way, he wants to give everyone possibility to repent, to change their mind about sin, self, and God. He's not some ugly ogre out there looking for some way to tear everybody down and make them suffer. Look at the cross. Again, the proof that can't be argued away. He comes to wash away your sins and mine. And in that kindness then, like Paul says in Romans, that kindness, God leads us to repentance. He turns our heart, as in John chapter 4, where Jesus starts off asking the woman at Jacob's well for water and then telling her that he can give her living water. He's giving her the good news. And then he goes on to say, go get your husband. As he gives her the water of life, he's telling her the bad news, but it comes after the good news in that case. We win a hearing sometimes in that kindness and love of God to point out these things. And your loving kindness out there in the world, shining like stars in Advent anticipation, is what gets an audience for this good news. He's promised. He's coming. He will not fail. But the words I'm about to read to you would be too terrifying to consider if you did not know the opening verses of this letter. 2 Peter. It's one of the things maybe to keep in mind, especially in the epistles in the New Testament. When you run across something that's terrifying or disturbing, go back and read the opening verses. It's helpful here because the Holy Spirit inspired Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the same kind of faith as ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This righteousness, the other righteousness, not what you and I do, but the righteousness of Christ in his life that comes from God and is received by faith so that it can be credited to your account. That not guilty verdict of God on you in your baptism. In 2 Peter 1 verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you can hear these words without running away in terror because they come from your loving God. You can be in anticipation of Advent and still be realistic. There's a reason why the secular humanists, the atheists who deny God, want to put their climate change numbers, 30 years out when everybody will forget and nobody can check up on how wild they were in their guesses. All right? I keep wondering when they're going to control the weather today, much less help us control the climate 30 years from now. All right? Just say it. God is the creator. You love God who created all things. You take care of God's planet because he's your father. And you love him who loved you first. And you care. It's just a tragedy that sometimes Christians have to be reminded of these things by those who don't even believe in God to take care of things. Just think about that sometime. But here's the words. You can hear them because the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Right away, Jesus said that, right? Matthew 24, Mark 13, the end times. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat. And the earth and what was done in it will be burned up. We use the things of this world without being used by them. We look forward to the advent of our Lord when all the works of man were the nations exhausted themselves for nothing will all be destroyed. And yet, you who trust in the Lord will not lose a thing because Christ is coming. His advent makes us patient and realistic. He says, "Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be living in holiness and godliness?" Remember that Psalm 90, "Teach us all to number our days aright and apply our hearts to wisdom." Give us that wisdom to know that this is all passing away, that my life could end today in the next breath. That's okay. Be ready to be with Jesus as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of God. Maybe understand how you look forward to it, but hasten it. The last prayer in the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. You hasten that day by your prayers. You hasten that day by your testimony. The Lord has told us in other places that when that last of the elect hears the word and believes, it could be a baby being baptized, it could be someone that you're trying to get through to now, the Holy Spirit working through your testimony. When that soul believes, that's it. The last trumpet will sound. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. And if you're alive at that time, you'll go up to be with the Lord in the air. Keep that in mind in these terrifying words. You hasten the coming of the day of God. That day will cause the heavens to be set on fire and destroyed, and the elements to melt as they burn with great heat. But you will be safe. Because the Lord has promised that he will come again with all his holy angels in the same way they saw him ascend into heaven. As he ascended, he was blessing. And that blessing still continues to this day. He's at God's right hand, ruling all things for the good of the church. That means you. You who trust in him. All things work together for good to them that love God, because God is working in all things to make them work for your good and blessing. Trusting that, you can be realistic about what's coming. You won't be here in the burning part. You'll be up with the angels. Taken up with the Lord. The true rapture in the Bible. Taken up to greet the Lord in the air. looking down to see all this going on, but safe with Jesus and safe with the angels. But those who rejected him, those to whom God finally says, "Thy will be done," eternity without God is godless and hopeless, and he wants everyone to turn while there still is time. So be patient, be realistic, and be trusting in your Advent anticipation, because according to his promise, we look forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Have you ever had somebody tell you that they think heaven's going to be boring because they don't want to sing in a choir all the time? So those of us who love singing, you know, we maybe can't really relate to that. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that awesome voice you always wished you had? And to know all the words and all the notes and to be singing with the angels, all the songs are right there, just in full-blown harmony and praise of God. If you can't sing, you don't know what you're missing. But then again, we asked our professor at 1 Corinthians 13, that passage at the end of the great love chapter where it says, "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love." Okay, we understand why in heaven there would still be faith, because everything is finally fulfilled, it's all there. And there's love in heaven, you know, boundless love, you're finally experiencing it. But how does hope remain? And the good professor said, God is infinite, and hope is the eager expectation of good from God. In the infinite love and infinite power and infinite imagination of God Almighty, there will be a new surprise around every corner for all eternity. Think about that. I've seen that in other dogmaticians too, thinking about how Christ coming and taking us to glory, but you don't need to go to the dogmaticians. You know it from that favorite hymn. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That's boring? Where you don't need any locks and everyone's kind. It's that great and awesome day when everyone's celebrating a victory and the sun is shining, but everybody's healthy. Nobody's in hospice. Nobody's hurting, because there is no more sickness or pain or crying. The old order of things is gone. That's the home of righteousness. To be with Jesus forever? Our minds are so tiny that the Lord has to try to describe these things in terms that we can understand. And so he gives us these worldly things to picture, like a rope to try to picture life's little day between the eternities. And every once in a while, he will give you a picture that you just wish that you could capture. You know, they keep improving the little phone in your pocket so that you can get this, but still not there. This past week, on a clear night, and you know in Minnesota, you get away from the city lights and it is just a bright, shining stars above and the moon up there. But on a frosty night, looking down from up above on the grass, all men are like grass. But there in the frosty grass, as you lean back and forth like this, you're seeing millions of stars in the ice. It's as if God painted this awesome picture there and here so that you could see stars above and below. How do you catch that? Your camera can't do it. Your mind can do better than your camera. What is time between the eternities? My picture would not take of moonlight frost. Three deer grazing, peaceful, calm. Technology too dim. Within an hour, all was gone. God's gift of words can paint the scene. I saw a God-wrought sight one night. Moonlight stars that lit the frozen grass, topped by Orion's champion belt amid the myriad lights. While across the way, our winter wetlands, neighbor shed, and blinking FM towers, the dreary, dismal, gaudy land of man, between the gorgeous, sparkling, spectacular work of God. Advent anticipation gives you the full view that man's cameras cannot catch. But the Holy Spirit echoes this in Paul's letter to the Philippians to keep in mind today. Do everything without complaining or arguing. He wants us at peace amongst ourselves and in our homes. Spotless and blameless in his sight, as Peter says. But Paul also writes, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, trusting in your Advent anticipation. Amen.